Okay, friends, here we go again. We are live and streaming through the Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Stefan Maya is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website you want to check out. I am a minister for the Riverview congregation in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. By all means, check out the wonderful work on this mission field through our website. Contact us, get involved. We this day, pod vlog episode 80, titled Comfort in Justice. Comfort in Justice. We say good morning first and foremost to our friends tuning in with us. Good morning, Mel. Good morning, Cheryl. Always a pleasure to have you wonderful ladies with us in this session. It is currently 11 a.m. over here on the Atlantic Dial, Atlantic Daylight Time, East Coast, Canada. Another wonderful day. They are telling us we might be blessed with thunderstorms and rain. We certainly have been praying for rain. We need it. We've been enjoying the warm, dry weather of this summer, but we need rain so that things can go from yellow and dying to green and flourishing. Yeah. We're just giving a bit of time also to Facebook to send off a few notifications so that our friends can join us in this study. It's an important study, something that is most certainly a topic of discussion in the religious realm and also in the secular realm. It's just applicable in all walks of life regarding comfort and justice. Comfort and justice. I'm currently working on a book. I'm writing a book. It's called something along the lines of The New Age Wave. The worldly deception that has crept into the minds of our fellow brothers and sisters within the church regarding the erosion of accurately handled scripture to a more dumbed down, self-absorbed, denominational outlook and viewpoint, one that is driven by emotionalism and relativism and liberalism and all those isms. I pray that the book will be put together and set for sale before the end of the year. But one of the conversations within the book that is going to be written on is definitely this one here that we're discussing this episode regarding comfort and justice. Regarding comfort and justice. This morning, I was opening my news feed and checking my digital platforms and things of that nature. And one of the news feed posts that went through my feed and I got and I saw was a video recorded account of a baby that had been born from a botched abortion. It's very graphic, very morbid, truly violent, you know. This poor little baby, he was burning because he was disfigured and burning because they had injected within the womb to try to murder this innocent little baby with various solutions that are very harmful to human skin. And so this poor little baby, you could see him distraught and in pain and wondering why on earth, you know, what's going on. And he's just dying there, you know. It's very, very sad. And it angered me a great deal. Wouldn't you be angry if you're a moral individual and have a moral compass? Well, of course. It's just a very, very disturbing thing to witness, right? And it's you would think, right, well, that was so bad, it's so depraved, it's so sickening and violent, and just, it's a remotely hidden little thing, it happened that one time, it's a one-time occurrence. No, no, this happens in the Western world legally from around the clock, morning to night, and in record numbers, historically speaking, the murder of these little babies. And it just angered me to no end. It just angers me. The only reason I do not go out there in public and mow down these abortion clinics and providers and those who encourage it, the reason I don't do that is because Jesus told me not to. He told me, revenge is not yours, Stefan. Retaliation is not the Christian behavior. You allow me to take revenge. My revenge is always just, and it is according to law, and it is according to what is righteous, what is right and proper. So I don't go out and perform a retaliation, capital punishment upon retaliation, if you will. I don't do that because Jesus told me not to. But that doesn't mean I can't be involved in influencing our governing authorities to making the murder of babies illegal again and punishable by law and things of that nature, right? Of course. Comfort in justice is something that the proponent of this New Age wave within the church doesn't wish to discern or understand. And so he or she will attack those of us who do find comfort and justice with their virtuous pestilence. They will proceed to signal their virtues, thinking themselves enlightened, entitled, and somehow the bastion of light that we should all follow, when it is complete contrary to that. You know, they are the ones we should not follow at all. They are the ones who need to repent. They are actually the Pharisees that they so often point and call Pharisees from others, but they are the Pharisees. Comfort and justice is something that the scriptures teaches from beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega. It's something that Christians certainly can be recipients of. And it's not a concept that is foreign to our thoughts. We've just allowed, again, the world to manipulate our judgment away from the objective reality of God's judgment into this subjective, emotional realm of myth for judgment. And that's just not right. That's not how it's supposed to work. So anyways, I see this video, you know, of this poor little baby losing his life, ready for his departure by the hands of individuals who are just murderers. And it breaks my heart, you know, every time I think of that, and it angers me a great deal. So I proceed to verbally express my anger towards these murderers and those who encourage this sort of action. And I do so in a controlled manner, self-controlled, righteous anger. And I express a post which says, and I'll just quote it here so that you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay, here we go. I quote, I wrote down and I say, I've seen video recorded accounts of babies being born after botched up abortion attempts, disfigured and confused, innocent and helpless as they suffer a slow and agonizing departure. The results of a godless generation more concerned about the well-being of trees than humankind. Let me speak frankly. There is a higher court coming. And I, for one, am comforted by the hell these unrepentant murderers will have to face. If God heard Abel's blood from the ground, he certainly hears it from the womb. And so I wrote that, knowing full well that those who claim Christianity or who are Christians within the church, deceived by the world's ways, are going to react in an unrighteous way towards what has been written. And sure enough, a comment was received from an individual. And I'm going to use this comment as an example of the problem that currently lies within the church. Please take notice, before we go to the comment that was given to what I had written, to what I have written, nothing within what I have written says that God seeks to send individuals to hell. Nothing in what I have posted says that God denies any repentant heart into heaven or anything of that nature. Nor does it say that Christians just walk around happy and joyful that people are going to hell. To say that would be an assumption from an individual who is enamored with the world's ways and just wants to give out their virtue signaling pestilence. Nothing in what I've posted there is speaking of something unrighteous or wrong. It's just a statement of fact. And Christians most certainly can find comfort in God's justice, eternal justice. So, one of the comments received from the post goes like this, and I'll quote here. Judgment is coming for all of us, Christians and non-Christians. So as Christians, I don't think we should be comforted or happy about anyone going to hell. Sin is terrible and has terrible consequences. That should make us sad and concerned, not comforted. Else we become like the Pharisees, quoting, "I'm glad I'm better than that sinner over there." God doesn't, capitals, want people to go to hell. He wants them to turn to Him. Our mission is to love God and our neighbor as ourselves and spread His word to all we can. That includes murderers and others whose sins are not really greater than our own in God's eyes. Now, whether this individual is sincere or not, I don't know. But that comment is the height of virtue signaling foolishness and scriptural ignorance. And it certainly is the reason I'm writing a book on this growing concern within the church from our own people who are receiving counsel from the wicked instead of the scriptures. And so it's important for us to recognize this threat within the church. This individual is of the same persuasion as those who chirp in with the same format if you are to expose pedophilia, rapists, homosexuals, and things of that nature. If you expose that, these individuals will feel compelled to come tell you that you're the problem, not the pedophile, not the abortionist, not the baby murderer. You see, this individual here chimes in to defend the baby murderer. Now, this individual might not be aware in his or her mind that that's what they are doing, but that's what they are doing. This individual took offense at me pointing out the wicked deed of abortionists who murder babies and how we can find comfort in God's eternal justice that those who murder babies and don't repent from it. They want to, and they will continue to do so, that they are going to be eternally punished. You see, this individual from her comment, I am well aware immediately in discerning that this individual has no clue what the Bible teaches. They are part of this New Age wave. Sin is sin. All sin is equal in God's eyes. So never tell anybody they're wrong. Don't ever judge anyone and forgive everyone. You see, in this individual's eyes, the 13-year-old who steals a pack of gum at the corner store is guilty of the same sentence and consequence as the baby murderer. They can't discern lesser or greater. They can't discern Bible verses, and there are many Bible verses, like in Matthew chapter, let's see here, Matthew chapter 23, verse 14, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation." The word greater is found with sin. And we've dealt with that. I've made podcasts rightly handling the scriptures, proving the point that God certainly sees some sins greater than others. Sin is sin. It breaks the law, and it separates you from God. That's understood. Agreed. But there is certainly a variance in the consequence we live through on this earth. These individuals who are enamored with this New Age wave, this emotionally driven liberalism, they come in thinking themselves entitled and enlightened, and I'm going to say what really needs to be said here. You shouldn't find comfort in... She's defending the baby murderer, is what this individual is doing. They defend the pedophiles. They defend the homosexuals. They defend everything that is wicked and sinful in God's eyes. And it's sad because it's in the church. The Bible teaches that Christians can certainly have comfort in knowing that the unrepentant wicked who murder our babies, who persecute us, will have an eternity in hell. The Bible teaches that. Now, this individual don't know that. Or maybe she does, she just don't. Just rebellious towards it. For instance, Paul was speaking to the Christians in Thessalonica, and they were recipients of heavy persecution, not only from the secular world outside, but from their own kind, who had gone worldly on them. And they needed words of comfort and encouragement. They needed to hear from Paul, a man governed by the Holy Spirit, that all the things they were going through and seeing in this wicked world were not in vain, that there was going to be justice, and that justice could comfort them. And so he tells them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 6, "For after all, it is only just, it's justice, for God to repay with affliction those who afflicted you." It's justice. It's God's nature that those who do wrong and wicked things and don't repent have to have a payment, a punishment. Verse 7, "And to give relief to you who are afflicted." Well, what's relief? It's comfort. It's encouragement. It's a peace, knowing that God's nature is one that is just. That doesn't remove the fact that all of us need God's grace. But friends, there is a difference between faithful Christians and unfaithful Christians, faithful Christians and heathens. There's a difference. Greater and lesser most certainly are part of God's objective standard of measurement in His judgment. To say otherwise is just plain ignorant. "And to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when?" When? "When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And this is not just a remote account in the scriptures. Peter speaks the same language, so does the Christ. The Bible speaks this principle from beginning to end. Christians can certainly find comfort, relief, peace in the fact that those who are murdering babies and persecute the faithful will find their day in hell eternally. And that doesn't need to be separated. It can be well seasoned and balanced. Meaning, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I wish everyone would go to heaven. Just like God says his desire is that all men come to repentance. But not all men are going to want to do that. Most aren't. And they're going to remain unrepentant and wicked and do wicked things. And for that, justice must prevail. You understand this concept. If a family member of yours was murdered by a wicked, unrepentant individual, you find your day in court, thinking yourselves now the recipients of justice. But no, oh no, the judge says, we're all guilty here of sin. Sin is sin. It is all equal in God's eyes. And so, who are we to judge this murderer any different from any of you? I'm sure some of you have said these white little lies. You're as guilty as this murderer. And so, through the grace of this honorable court, we're going to release this murderer because just one day he might repent. Let's pray for him. Let's not find comfort in sending him to jail for life. That wouldn't be nice. That would be very unchristlike. That would be pharisaical if we were ever to want justice on this earth in such a way. We're all guilty in one form or another, so therefore, as the judge, I send you, Mr. Murderer, away and be gone now. You're free to go. And what should that family do that had their daughter or son murdered by this man? Oh, yes, yeah, see how kumbaya we've all become? Let's all gather around the fireplace and let's sing and dance. It's such a beautiful time that this murderer has been set free. I mean, what use is there in this courtroom anyways? Let's abolish court. Let's defund the police officers. Let's get rid of law. Let's all sing kumbaya and just be happy. Everyone's a sinner, so there's no need for justice anymore. That would be unchristlike. You see the problem? Do you see the problem? Friends, we'd never allow that to happen. We would never allow that to happen. We would be outraged in court. We would feel robbed of the justice that needs to take place from the murder of our daughter or son at the hands of this wicked individual. We demand justice. We understand that. And there's nothing unrighteous with that. Yet somehow Christians, deceived by the world's ways, now turn on their own brethren who expose the wicked of these baby murderers and seek the comfort that one day justice will be held. Currently, in the Western world, there's no justice for baby murderers. It's legal to murder babies. And so isn't it not natural for one who is faithful to feel peace and comfort, knowing that God is going to deal with these baby murderers? Of course we pray that our enemies repent. Of course we pray for our enemies, but praying for our enemies and loving our enemies doesn't mean we give them more babies to murder to prove some kind of nonsensical point. It's leftist ideology. And when I speak of left, I don't mean politically. I mean religiously to the scriptures. The goats on the left. No, not the greatest of all times. The goats on the left. Leftism, leftist ideology, the wicked. I find comfort in knowing that God will judge baby murderers and that they will find themselves in eternal punishment. I'm not happy about that. It's not something that I dance with a unrighteous motive to the point. It's all about the heart. My heart weeps that individuals are so wicked they want to murder babies. It hurts me, and it angers me to no end. But I find comfort, relief, and justice knowing God is going to deal with this. Revenge belongs to Him, not me. And so individuals who chirp in, like this lady here, it's part of the New Age wave that's destroying the church. Sin is sin. Don't tell anybody they're wrong ever, because we're all just sinners. And never judge anyone, and always forgive everyone. It's a leftist utopia. It's a myth. It's fiction. It's not reality. It's not the real world. It's not Bible. This individual who just spewed that ignorance at the highest level of foolishness could never open this book and prove to me what she's just said there. It's not in here. It's manipulation and assumption. I could dissect everything that's been said in that comment and how ridiculous it is. Now, again, this individual may just be ignorant and don't know better, but typically, in my limited experience, these individuals know exactly what they're saying. They just don't want to change their hearts. They're Pharisees. We can find comfort in justice. We can do that. Of course, we don't want anyone to go to hell. The objective is certainly that everyone would repent. But hey, we need to be, in reality, sober-minded. Most don't want to go to heaven. Most want to murder babies. Most want to rape children. Individuals are wicked. And they're going to have their day in court, the highest court. I say that knowing full well I need God's grace on that day as much as anyone. But there's a difference between those of us who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb and those who haven't. Those who have been born again and are faithful, and those who have been born again and who are not faithful. There's a difference. God sees the difference, greater and lesser. He sees the difference in consequence. He sees the motive behind the man's heart. I've seen video recorded accounts of babies being born after botched up abortion attempts, disfigured and confused, innocent and helpless as they suffer a slow and agonizing departure, the results of a godless generation more concerned about the well-being of trees than humankind. Let me speak frankly. There is a higher court coming, and I, for one, am comforted by the hell these unrepentant murderers will have to face. If God heard Abel's blood from the ground, He certainly hears it from the womb. And here comes this comment, and it says, "Judgment is coming for all of us, Christians and non. As Christians, I don't think we should be comforted or happy about anyone going to hell." Do you see already this virtue signaling pestilence? Sin is terrible and has terrible consequences. That should make us sad and concerned, not comforted. Who said anything about being comforted in sin? Sin doesn't comfort. Sin doesn't comfort. Else we become like the Pharisees. Where in anything I've said mentions that we are comforted by sinful things? Like, God doesn't want people to go to hell. He wants them to turn to Him. See, it's this leftist utopia, you know, that's just not reality. Our mission is to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. See, this individual is enlightened. They think themselves directly governed by the Holy Spirit, you know, emotionally driven, and spread His word all we can. That includes murderers and others whose sins are not really greater than our own in God's eyes. Yeah, there's a big difference. there's a big difference in God's eyes. Yeah, there is. There's a big difference in God's eyes from the faithful Christian who lives his life according to the words of God. and the individual who is unrepentant and murders babies. There's a difference. And one does not need to have the heart of the Pharisee saying, I'm so glad I'm not a sinner like they are. That's that. The comment that was put there is so ignorant. It's just so ignorant. So scripturally wrong. Unbelievable. And many people are snared into that new wave of thinking. It's shameful. It shouldn't be, but it is. And I'm doing my best to bring awareness to the fact that we shouldn't be like that at all. The scriptures certainly teach we can find relief and comfort, encouragement in knowing that those who murder babies and those who persecute us, who murder us for believing in Jesus, are going to be eternally punished. That's it and that's all. That's a fact. It's a Bible fact. All these leftist kumbaya people, they're going straight to hell with them. I wish they'd turn them around. I wish they'd smarten up right now before it's too late. They come in to defend the pedophiles. They come in to defend the wicked, the baby murderers. Really? That's how completely brainwashed they are into the world standard of things. It's sad. Anywho, I've said my piece on that. Look out for the book. A lot of it will be explaining a lot more in detail these kind of things. But hey, listen, I love all of you. I appreciate all of you a great deal. I see some other friends here who had said good morning. Delissa Kelly, good to have you. Gina, Larry, hey man, good to have you guys on the comment thread there with us. Stay positive, stay focused. Don't allow your spirit to be discouraged or swayed by these brothers or sisters in Christ, some of them, who chirp in with their virtuous pestilence. They're the ones who need to repent and turn their thoughts around to fight with those who are faithful against wickedness and evil and spreading the good news of Christ, of course. Okay, we shall certainly see each other again next time, Lord willing, and God bless.